Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, June 29th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are still we're in the Big Book reading. We're on page 48, chapter We Agnostics. The first paragraph begins with "The reader may still ask," through two paragraphs ending "without a reasonable assumption as a starting point," and the comments will be on both paragraphs. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Letty G., the 12 Traditions, Mary P. The readers of the text are Alex K., Penny L.C., and Ann S.C.H. The share ID for Sunday, June 28th, is 23,588. That's 23588. And for Monday, June 29th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,589. That's 23589. And our newcomer greeter is Alex K. And our announcements person is Shelley E. And thank you all very much for your service this month. Our OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Letty.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everybody. I'm Letty G. from currently in California, and I am a compulsive overeater. Here are the steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Five, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I look forward to our meeting. I pass.
Thank you very much, Letty. We carry this message to compulsive overeaters also. All right, I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Mary P., and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this month, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Mary P. from Texas. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 48 of the chapter, We Agnostics. The first paragraph down, it begins with, the reader may still ask. We're going to read through two paragraphs today, ending without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. And the comments will be on both those paragraphs. And I will now ask Alex K. to begin reading and comment for us. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, Mo. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Alex K., compulsive eater in California, given a reprieve for today. The reader may still ask why he should believe in a power greater than himself. We think there are good reasons. Let us have a look at them, some of them. The practical individual of today is a stickler for facts and results. Nevertheless, the 20th century readily accepts theories of all kinds, provided they are firmly grounded in fact. We have numerous theories, for example, about electricity. Everybody believes them without a murmur of doubt. Why this ready acceptance? Simply because it is impossible to explain what we see, feel, direct, and use without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. Why should I believe in a power greater than myself? Because I need help. I can't recover alone. My willpower, no human power, can remove my compulsion. All my efforts only led me to misery, so why not try something different? I like the analogy of electricity. I accept that as a power greater than myself. It can do what I can't do. I don't completely understand how it works, but I know it works. I have faith that when I turn the light switch, the light will go on. I've experienced positive changes in my life I can't explain that I couldn't have made happen on my own, and that's evidence of my higher power doing for me what I could never do for myself. And the more evidence I see, the stronger my faith grows, the more willingness I have to make my higher power the center of my life. When I turn to and rely on my higher power, life goes so much better. I have more peace and balance and stability, equanimity, not knocked over by challenges or difficulties. Just as my light has to be plugged in for the energy to flow in to turn the light on, I need to be plugged into my higher power so that I can receive my higher power's gifts. And I do this with daily quiet time, prayer and meditation, two-way prayer, using my God box, pausing throughout the day to say thank you or help, asking my higher power for guidance. Asking, what's your will for me in this moment, this situation? What do you want for me here? How can I best be of service? It's such a different way of thinking and living than the way I lived before recovery. I'm not alone flailing around hopelessly, depending on my limited human resources. I'm never alone. My higher power is always right here with me, and I try to stay plugged in and open to allow my higher power's energy to flow in to align my will with my higher power's will. I am becoming much more higher power centered. As a consequence, my life is better than ever and keeps getting better. My spiritual muscle is getting stronger, and it's more automatic to turn to my higher power for help when I'm disturbed. And my higher power connection is getting stronger, and I can tap into spiritual energy and my higher power's infinite resources. It's a beautiful way of life. I'm so grateful. Thanks, everyone. Pass.
Thank you very much. That's Alex K. from California. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph, page 48 of We Agnostics, the first paragraph down? The reader may still ask, through two paragraphs ending without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. And I am ready by my pen to take names.
Lisa Ann.
Donna, was that Donna C? Oh, Donna B?
Yes, thanks, Mel.
That's you, Donna.
Deborah G.
Who was that? Oh, Deborah G. Okay.
Doreen N.
Doreen N.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C. Let me let you know. Let me give you who I have. Lisa N, Donna B, Deborah G, Doreen N, and Penny LC. Would anybody else like to be in this lineup? All right. Everybody mute except Lisa N. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for taking the meeting. And Alex, thank you so much for that beautiful start to our meeting. I always appreciate this meeting and the time. It works so well for me. I like that. The reader may still ask why he should believe in a power greater than himself. Well, if they're not familiar with that kind of thinking, we need to tell them what worked for us and how that changed for us. And for me, when I first started coming to these meetings, well, actually they were in-person meetings a while ago, I think 16 or so years ago. And when I first came, I was listening to people, but I wasn't really hearing what they were saying. It sounded like, wah, wah, wah. And I feel like once I started working the steps, all of a sudden I had this awareness. There was, and I was brought, this was brought to my attention this morning in a reading that I read by my higher power. My higher power is at the center of my consciousness for me. So now all of a sudden I was checked in. I was tuned in. I was connected to that resource, and I need that resource. And I didn't realize I wasn't tapped in. I didn't realize that what I was doing wasn't helpful. It was all the things that I'd read about and heard about and tried, but it was, and prayer was definitely something, a part of my life always, but it was a different kind of connection, and I needed that. And that source was all powerful. And I'm so grateful for this program and all that it's done for me, but mostly that I can turn my thinking to that source. I can tune in and be redirected. My thinking is the problem. So thank you, everyone. Look forward to hearing your shares.
Well, thank you very much. It's Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Up next is Donna B. and followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Mo. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, from Denver, Colorado. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. And this question, why should I believe in a power greater than myself, is an easier question to answer than what is my concept of a power greater than myself, or what is God, or how did God come to exist, or, you know, I can get caught in a lot of these agnostic type of questions for myself, of just not being able to understand or know what exactly God is. And I can just keep going in a circle, in a circle, in a circle. But this question, why should I believe in a power greater than myself, is a question which there's a really straightforward answer. Because I have witnessed that for those people who once were addicted to their alcoholic food ingredients, came to believe in a power greater than themselves, took all the directions and actions in this book, and as a result began to rely on that power greater than themselves, they got better. And why should I believe in a power greater than myself? Because I too am an addict, addicted to alcoholic food ingredients, and I would like to live the life that I have witnessed in the people who are living in recovery. And that's pretty straightforward. So going back to the question we heard earlier, which is, do you now believe or are you willing to believe in a power greater than yourself? For me, the answer has always been a really emphatic yes. So there's a lot of things that I can say yes to, even as I lack understanding of what this power actually is. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. That's Donna B. from Colorado, and you spell her name D-A-N-A. Up next is Deborah G., followed by Doreen N. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you, Mo, so much for your service. I love when you lead the meeting and everyone that's making this meeting possible, and already for all your shares, 12-Step and me, and welcome, welcome to all the newcomers on the line. So glad you're here with us, and I was remembering, you know, before this, well, I was actually in this program too, other programs, and with other areas of programs, that I was in, I believed and surrendered and had recovery. But with my OA program, I didn't. It's interesting. I didn't have the same that was mentioned thinking about this power with my food. You know, I think it's because I wanted to continue controlling it. I didn't want to surrender with the food. I still wanted, you know, in my mind, isn't it crazy? Even though my life was unmanageable because of it, the food, I still wanted to do it. And I couldn't get it. I just couldn't. And then when I kept going to meetings all those years, it's all working on me, working on my thinking. And then I did also a workshop, and fast-forwarding, working up. And then I did a workshop. And I don't know if it was because of the workshop and then what I was doing in meetings, but all of a sudden I woke up and I saw what I was doing. It's like I was unconscious. And I couldn't see. And then I woke up and saw what I was doing with my last alcoholic food that I was holding on to. And then I got an awareness, huge. It just opened up. Look at everybody that's abstinent. Look at everybody that has years and years of recovery, and the clarity and the awarenesses that they had and the things that were happening in their lives. You know, how their lives were changing. You know, I wanted that. And it's interesting how with this program, it's been a deeper experience. And just maybe just recently, this is my thinking, recently, I see where that power is working in my life. You know, I see the experience I have. It's so lovely. You know, maybe because the food's cleared away and the work that I'm doing, I don't know. I can't even explain it. You know, it's all a mystery to me. But I'm going to keep coming back, and I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Deborah G. from Arizona. Up next is Doreen K., followed by Penny L.C., and after Penny, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Doreen. A star one.
Good morning, Doreen. Compulsive. Yep, I'm here, Doreen, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and thank you for having this meeting for, like, part of my morning routine. It's part of my spiritual routine. And one of the things about that paragraph is I have conceded to my higher power. I have also my faith in my higher power, and he's the one. I'm going to do the footwork, but he's the one that keeps me abstinent. He's the power greater than myself that keeps me abstinent, because right now that's what I'm focusing on, and I'm here because I'm detoxing. I'm detoxing because donuts are my heroin, and I'm thinking about lunch, and I'm like, I'm signing into a freaking meeting. Because I gotta tell on myself and say, hey, man, like, I wake up every morning as a compulsive overeater. I have to connect with that power greater than myself. And if I don't connect, I'm doomed, and I will pick up the food. And today, if I need to make 20 calls and tell people, hey, man, I want donuts, and that's why I'm calling you and how's the program, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm here because I have to be here. I don't have an option. I don't have a choice. Do you think, like most of us, that we would be here if we didn't have a problem with food? Donuts are it's heroin. It's rat poison. And I have to relate to it that way, because if I don't, I will go to the donut shop. And I don't want to, and I'm going to pray like crazy, even if the prayer is just help. Help, and I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Doreen N. from Texas, Up next is Penny LC. So let me remind everybody where we're at before I take Penny. We are on page 48 of the Agnostics, the first paragraph down. The reader may still ask through two paragraphs ending without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. And after Penny, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. So reading these paragraphs, I ask myself, why should any of us believe? Why should I believe? It's a fair question, which deserves a fair answer. Or how about 28 answers or reasons to believe? When my Ebby was taking me through the chapter, they pointed out 28 different reasons in these lines. And these of the agnostics and reasons to believe. The first, on page 44 that we've read in the past already, states that you, or I in this case, be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Then, second, on page 47, states, when therefore we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God, end quote. I'm being given undeniable truths. I may be smart and able to figure out things for myself, but am I smart enough to know I need more smarts, more power to get down to the full truth about my disease? As I've already been told, also that at least twice before in this chapter, that I need to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a new experience in my journey of faith and recovery. I read these two paragraphs, then culminate in the third, reason. Quote, it is impossible to explain what we see, feel, direct, and use without a reasonable assumption as a starting point, end quote. From this premise, I can choose to take it on faith that there is a greater power with a capital P available to me. I am also able to witness all of the members of this fellowship that have made the choice to believe, worked the steps, and found peace with their disease, along with freedom from it. As we say, if you want what they have, then I simply need to and get to do what they do. I have the option to ask for help, then decide to trust and rely on that help, however it has revealed itself to me. Thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much, Penny LC, and she is from Washington State. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Page 48, the first paragraph down, and we're going to read through two paragraphs. I'm going to take the list of names now.
Lucinda F. from Texas.
Okay. Lucinda F. Who would like to join Lucinda? This is your opportunity to press star one.
Jason W. in California.
Jason W.
This is Elaine H. from Florida.
Who was that? I'm sorry, I didn't get your first name.
Elaine H. from Florida.
Okay, I got it.
Susan C. from New Jersey.
Susan C. from New Jersey. Anyone else? I have...
A from Iowa.
Who was that
from
Iowa?
Iowa? No, K from Iowa.
Okay, from Iowa. Okay. I got that all wrong. K from Iowa. Let's stop there. Yeah. Okay, so I have Lucinda F., Jason W., Delaine H., Susan C., and K. I didn't get your last initial, K., from Iowa. All right, everyone mute except Lucinda. Good morning, Lucinda.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you, Alex, for your wonderful lead. Today, the lines that strike me were the one that said, simply because it is impossible to explain what we see, feel, direct, and use without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. And then up in the first paragraph, it says, why should we believe in this power greater than ourselves? It says, we think there are good reasons. And those two are the ones that stood out for me today. In the 12-step work that I've done over the years, the part that was so attractive to me about the higher power concept is that it was one of my choosing, anything greater than me, but one of my choosing. Nobody was telling me what I needed or what I needed to believe or think or do. And that really, really works for me, and started introducing me to the idea that I need some help, and I need to realize there is something greater than me for good that can help me. And I've found that it isn't something that's just said. It's there, but it's always in flux, depending on what's going on, what I'm going through, and what I'm choosing to work and develop. And I'm really grateful. This last few weeks, I've been taking a look at what I might have liked to have received that I haven't received. And there's definitely been some lovely things, thinking of what it would be like to be really, really, really loved, and thinking what it would be like to be really, 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 really supported. And those really have been calming me down. So I'm grateful for the program. I'm grateful for the shares. I'm grateful for learning that I can laugh at my eccentricities, my absurdities, my weaknesses, and that my higher power loves me with all of those things, for all of those things. And it just feels really good to be in my groups and my 12-step meetings in OA, and to feel other people simply being there and speaking how they feel, what they think, and how what worked for them in such honest ways. And how that connection, I can really feel it. I feel it in this meeting. I feel it in my other meetings. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much. That is Lucinda F., and she is from Texas. Up next is Jason W., followed by Delaine H. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can, very clearly.
Great. Great. Now, do I have something to say now that you can hear me? Jason W. in California. this is a potent section for me today, this whole chapter. I've been really startled to find out, in honest reflection, working with my sponsor on step two right now, in another fellowship, but the steps remain the same, that I'm agnostic, and I didn't know that. Thought I believed. But when my feet are on the ground, I'm not living a God-connected life. I'm not connected to higher power. I'm just out doing Jason. And that's been such a powerful thing, the truth about my situation. Like, I need power. Like, why should I believe in a power greater than myself? Because if there's no power greater than myself, I'm screwed. I'm not going to make it. I'm not just going to not be absent or sober, but I'm not going to live. I'm not going to be able to live. This is a life or death condition as I see it and as I experience it, both in this fellowship and in the other. And then the question says, why should I believe in a power greater than Jason? It's like, well, really, there's many powers greater than Jason. You know, and I've always submitted and gone with those, like alcohol, sex, food, you name it. Those are powers greater than myself. So to me, the question is, can I believe that there's a power greater than myself that cares for me? That has my best, true best interest at heart, who sees me as I am and is willing to take me beyond where I am right now. And I'm coming to believe that. You know, step two is very clear. It says came to believe. It doesn't say came in believing. Came to believe. But in order for me to come to believe, I've got to really be honest with myself about where I'm at right now. You know, I can't get from here to there. Like if I'm looking at a mall, in a mall, if I'm looking at that board that shows me where the store I'm looking for is, if I don't know where here is, I'm going to have a hell of a time finding there. So right now, it's good to know that I'm, even though I've been around recovery for quite a while, I'm just beginning. And I think that's a good place to be for me. Thanks for letting me share. Love you guys so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's Jason W. from California. Up next is Delaine H., followed by Susan C. Good morning, Delaine, and let us know where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Florida, and thank you all for what you have contributed in your service today. I really appreciate everything that I've heard. I distinctly remember the very first meeting that I walked into, and I came into AA 2 years sober, and through AA, I came into OA. When I came in and I walked into the meeting and I sat and I'm going, I don't belong in here. And then when the sharing took place, it was something I knew that it was what I was looking for. And I had a belief in a God, but the God that I believed in was rules and regulations. And if I did this and if I did that and if I did this, everything would be okay. And what brought me into the program was a prayer, God, please let me put you at the head of my household. My husband, my children, and then myself, because I was completely out of order. It was me, my kids, and maybe my husband, and God possibly. And when I came into this program and I heard the people sharing from their hearts and the love that was extended to me, even in those first few meetings, was what I had been looking for a very, very long time. Because of my past and the experiences that I had and the direction I took in my life, I never trusted anyone. And my first sponsor was the taproot to my spirituality because it took 3 years before I really, truly trusted her working the step. My first fourth step had things that has taken me 30 years to process. I couldn't say the word abortion, let alone admit. There were things that I could not do until I got into this program and felt the love of this program. Today I realize that I have enemies. I have thoughts in my head that come from me. Some come from me, some come from God, and some comes from somewhere else that I don't want any part of. And today I have the ability to distinguish where those thoughts come from, what's going on in my life. And I've just learned so much through this program. If anybody ever told me that I could forgive my father, I would say no way. But I can pray for him with love in my heart today because of working this program and because of the God of my understanding. Because as I released all of what's inside of me, the shame and the guilt and the anger and the resentment, the God of my understanding has been able to come in and love me so I can love others. And today I walk with peace and serenity and love in my heart because of people that are in this program, because the love that you have given me so that I can share it with others. And without my higher power in my life, I don't know where I would be. And I'm so grateful that I'm here and I can share that. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That is Delaine H., and she is from Florida. Well, next is Susan C., followed by K.S. I may be able to take one or two more names after K. Good morning, Susan.
Hi, it says Susan T. is in Tom, just an FYI.
T. Okay.
T as in Tom, yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
Can you tell me, did you say page 45, the first paragraph?
No, 48, the first paragraph.
Oh, okay. So my name is Sue, and I recovered from compulsive eating anorexia and bulimia. And I will say that I came into the program with a faith, but I think, and I was kind of baffled by it in some ways. I didn't quite understand why would God be so involved in my life about food when he has bigger fishes to fry? But I think that, like what the big book says, it says the illness beat us into a state of reasonableness. That's what happened to me. I mean, all that stuff went out the window, and I was so desperate for a solution. So when I went to when I got serious and I went to my second meeting in New York, I remember walking in, and people were playing, it was around the holidays, around Christmas, and people were playing like big book trivia. And I really walked in and I felt what they talk about in A Vision for You, the electricity in the room. And I think that carried me right there. I sat there and I said, oh my gosh. And people were laughing and joking about the crazy things they did in the illness. And I really wanted that. I wanted to be able to be happy again and not be so miserable and suicidal and everything else. I really wanted that. And I think that that's what really, you know, when they say that you can carry this message to someone else, their connection with God touched my soul. And I wanted that. I wanted that inner happiness and freedom from obsession. So that's the power of recovery. And in the big book, in A Vision for You, they said, what connects us together is not just that we had the illness, it's the recovery process. And when people recover from this illness, it's just dynamic. You, it says we can carry a message to another person that's struggling and suffering. And that's what I experienced that day. And that really convinced me that there was something greater. You know, there was something in that meeting, and I wanted it. And I would go to any lengths to get it at that point. So if you're new, just hang in there. It is a process, and I was pretty bad off, and I've been in recovery 40 years, and I still can't believe it, you know. So thank you very much. But for the grace of God, I'll say, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's Susan T. from New Jersey. Up next is K.S., and after K., I may be able to take one or two more names. Good morning, K.
Good morning. Yes, I read this paragraph very literally. And when it says, why should I believe, I'll tell you, there's two big ones that come up immediately that hit me. The first one is, it was my best thinking that got me here. I tried everything. And I tried it several times over and in a million different ways. And it wasn't happening. And then secondly was, while I was trying, I kept hearing people that were successful by believing. And so it really is to my own benefit. Keep that open mind. And I always had like a faith in God, and that was never a problem. And I've had a personal relationship with God for a long time on other matters in other programs. But I found that I still, which I thought, oh, well, that settle will be easy. I've already gone down this route. I know how important that relationship is. But I think, you know, you learn almost in a much deeper level. In another way, I mean, I think the food teaches me a lot of things. And one of them is that I'm not just going to get this in the hard times. This is something I do every day, three times a day, that I want to stay in that light and in that strength of something that's bigger than me. So I'm just grateful that all the people that have had recovery, I've had it myself. It's beyond words, and I don't need to even understand it. I just know it works, and I'm going to trust that. and continue on with that. But I'm glad I could keep an open mind. That was the key, an open mind. So thanks. That's all I got.
Thank you very much. That's KS from Iowa. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I can take one more name of someone who would like to share on this speech paradigm. Kathy M., you've got it. Everyone
Thank
else,
you.
Do you need? Yeah, where are
okay.
you calling from, Kathy?
This is Kathy M. from Michigan. And I've been listening to all the shares and the paragraph, and this chapter was written for me. I came into this program and a borderline atheist, agnostic for sure. And I read this chapter and took it to heart in terms of allowing my mind to open to the idea. I always know there's a power greater than myself. It's obvious. I'm obviously not the strongest thing there is in this universe. So it's clear that there's a power greater than myself. But my difficulty was in putting a definition on it and understanding it and thinking that it cared about what I ate and what I did in my life. And I have come to terms with that over the years. I had a spiritual awakening early in my program, realizing that whatever my higher power is, which I still don't understand, it provides for me what I need. I just need to be willing to accept what my higher power is providing for me. My higher power is providing that ability to, not ability, that my higher power provides the food that I need to eat. I just need to be willing to and open-minded enough to accept the fact that, guess what, I'm not supposed to eat sugar. Guess what, I'm not supposed to eat flour. And I have defined my abstinent foods. And those are foods that my higher power has allowed me to see that I'm not supposed to be eating. So I guess my whole point is that the higher power is providing for us what we need, but we need to be willing to see it and accept it and put it to use. Just like electricity, our higher power has provided that amazing thing to us from our sun and the electrons and whatever, and we are able to put it to use for our benefit. And we don't need to understand it to be able to use it. And I think that's kind of what it boils down to. You don't need to understand your higher power. You just need to be willing to accept that it's okay to turn over those things that you can't do for yourself and allow them to be provided by the higher power. I don't know if that made any sense at all, but it feels good to say it. And I love all of you, and thank you so much for being here every day, and I'll pass.
Okay, thank you very much, Kathy M., and it made total sense to me, so you got one here. All right, thank you all for your shares today and your willingness to participate. Okay, we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will now ask Penny L.C. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Penny.
No, thank you. Good morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.